The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
This episode is about winter solstice, yes, but it also includes a bonus, very fun and funny game called Scary Not Scary. Welcome to the podcast where it's all about living your love story and making your life a story where love wins. My name is Sienna.
And my name is Toast. We're married and we've been partners in life, love, and music since 2001, over 20 years. On this show, we share our life as an Asian American lesbian couple.
Some of our favorite topics are positive spirituality, holistic health, sometimes cats,
lesbian alert,
and other things we hope are entertaining, uplifting, and helpful for living your love story.
So here we go. Welcome to our home studio in the Pacific Northwest.
Welcome, everyone.
Welcome to our cozy little corner, our LGBTQIA+. I think you got it all. Corner. That's what the plus is for, right? Yeah. Just like, in case.
Yeah. Okay, so I was just telling Toast that we are dyeing her hair today.
We'll see. We got to record this episode
okay,
first.
Yeah, we will. All right, so let me just say, the winter solstice is coming up. It's actually, if you do listen to this when this episode comes out, we purposefully decided to release this episode at least a week before winter solstice, just in case you are a regular listener and do want to take advantage of the winter solstice.
If you want to play along.
Is December 21st. So, but before we get into that, you know, just in preparing, like, should we do this episode? Should we not do this episode? I mean, one of the things that I've struggled with is just how much woo-woo of myself do I show to people? You know, because people, if you've seen my private Instagram, meaning you've friended me and then I've allowed you in the door, you'll see, you know, lots of crystals and things like that. But I really don't post as much as I often would like to.
Okay.
Because of the woo-ness and how people can really judge that or misinterpret it.
Yes.
And so I've been really careful, but I got to say, like, I'm tired of that because I got to be me, everyone.
Yeah.
And I got to just live my life, right?
Yeah.
So in doing this episode, we were like, let's just do it. So we're doing it. We are doing it.
Isn't it funny how it's very similar to like being gay? Because especially more back in the day, talking like, what, 80s, 90s?
Okay.
Into the 2000s. There's this connotation. There's this stereotype of like, well, all the gay people are a certain way. And there's, you know what I mean? There's all this misunderstanding of what it means. All the added baggage that gets put onto you.
Yeah.
As a gay person. Well, and it's kind of like the same thing with the woo stuff.
I have contributed to that, I will say.
The gay thing?
Yeah. I mean, and how
I'm talking about like the promiscuity and the flamboyance drugs and exhibitionist behavior and the.
No, I'm talking like, about wholesome flannel plaid shirts and having cats and a truck and playing acoustic guitar.
I see.
In the lesbian side of things.
Okay.
And needing to ban Birkenstocks and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
You know? Okay. So anyways. So we're coming out of the woo closet. And obviously we won't have time to fully come out on this episode. But we're going to talk about the winter solstice. And one of the things that I think was really interesting when Toast and I first met, and maybe not when we first met, but when we became quote unquote roommates, because we were legit roommates. And then that's how you get to really know someone. You're like, oh, okay. So you do that in okay. the morning or whatever
all right,
it is.
All right.
And I think that's probably when I realized how non-woo you were.
Okay.
But that there was a woo that wanted to come out. You know what I mean? And just
I
for anyone who...
I think you might have to explain
who,
that.
Just
no,
for,
I don't think I do know what you mean.
Just for people who haven't followed the podcast. So I was raised like an intense Catholic. I don't consider myself
like
Catholic anymore.
Like
but
the
I
private
was raised,
Catholic school and everything.
Yes, the whole deal. And Toast was raised as a...
Evangelical Christian.
Yeah, so that's
Sunday
the intense
school.
One. That's
like the summer camps.
Heavy duty Christian people.
You know, I got out just, I'm so glad and almost proud of myself.
You got out.
For like getting out.
Yeah,
when you and did. I got out when in you like did. The 90s. Yeah. I was like, I saw what was going on. I'm like, no.
Yeah, and you did
no,
it on your own.
No.
That is that's anyway. A whole other episode, and we really
episodes. That's a whole other
really
series.
Yeah,
that's a whole other really, industry. Anyway,
we really
okay.
should talk about that because I think it's really important for people who are still stuck there.
Well, you know what's interesting is I've seen this episode is like going off the topic.
I know. Well,
but yeah, so it's been really fascinating for me to see in the past years, especially since you know 45. The former guy. Don't want to say the name.
Yeah, all right.
Ever since that phenomenon started to see the mainstream, more in the mainstream, people talking about Christian nationalism and ex-evangelicalism and deconstructing their faith and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, huh, now it has a name.
Anyway. Yeah, you were a trailblazer. So, okay, so let's go ahead and talk about the winter solstice.
Okay, so winter solstice. It usually is on December 31st, isn't it? Around there?
Winter solstice? No, the 21st.
Oh, what did I say?
31st?
Oh, Jesus. Okay, let's start this again.
Yeah,
okay. Okay, winter solstice.
Oh,
sorry. It's usually on December 21st, right?
Yes.
Around there, 21st, 22nd, depending. I don't know. You got to ask like the astronomers and stuff. This is all for people in the Northern Hemisphere. In the Southern Hemisphere, it's the opposite, right? Australia has their Christmas during the summertime. Okay.
How is that?
So,
you know?
Isn't that
like,
so neat?
How is that?
Well, it's kind of like how it was for us in growing up in Hawaii.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right?
I guess so, yeah.
It's just like, hey, it's another sunny day, 80 degrees, and it's Christmas. Okay, getting back to winter solstice. We're just all over the place. So I was fascinated to look up. I always wonder about the origin of words. So solstice is originally from the Latin of sol, meaning sun, as you might have imagined, and then another verb, sistere, or something like that. Anyways, it means to stopped or stationary. So it's when the sun stands still.
Mm.
And I love the feeling and the energy of that. I love how it evokes the feeling of time as being more like a pendulum that swings. So the pendulum swings to one end and it pauses. And it stops just for a moment before swinging back to the other end. Solstice. Time as cyclical, not linear, because we are in the seasons, the cycle of the seasons. So winter solstice is when the sun stops and pauses for a moment. And there's this energy of drawing back, of pausing, before launching forward into spring.
That reminds me of the energy of like a tide.
Right.
You know, drawing
yes.
back.
Yeah.
But preparing right. to launch forward.
Yeah. And the pause And the pause that we take, even when our breathing is steady, mm-hmm. you know, there's a pause, right, before
yeah.
your breaths and stuff.
Yeah. I love that. And so it's really, winter solstice is such a powerful time, really, if you want to access that, mm-hmm. you know, the power of nature and all the elements supporting us in this next phase and this readying for this launch into spring. I mean, it's quite a runway, but, you know, this yeah. like preparation for yeah. the next season.
That's why I always find it's a little disorienting somehow to think of like, oh, you know, on how we conceptualize the calendar year mm-hmm. of solstice marking the beginning of winter.
Yes.
You know, that mm-hmm. always feels a little like off to me.
Yeah, because it feels like we were already starting it for
right.
one, right? With
yeah.
with fall
yeah.
and that dark. And maybe for us being Hawaii people,
that probably
there
has something.
Is that element to
yes.
it, right? Because it you can feel it. You definitely feel it.
Yeah.
Once fall starts to come around. But, you know, winter solstice is, don't forget winter, the season itself, winter is a time of rest, really. It's a season
dormancy.
Of rest. And so even though in our culture, it feels like the busiest time, mm. right? Because you're like getting the presents or whatever, everything having to do with the holidays. Mm. It's become so commercialized and crazy that's where we have this busyness and that whole disease of trying to please and make everything perfect and all that stuff. But I think COVID, you know, COVID is still a reality and we got to still talk about it every once in a while. It's like that in ways was this other kind of pause for all of us mm-hmm. to help us reset. You know,
yeah.
I think there were many people, as sad as some were, to not be able to have the traditions with family members. I bet some were relieved.
Yeah.
I can
sure.
actually rest.
That's real talk.
You
yeah.
know, I don't mm-hmm. need to host for 30 people coming over mm-hmm. And all that kind of stuff. But anyways, going back to the period of winter. So winter is a time normally of rest, where we do go inward, and on solstice, the darkest day, I mean, you just think about it. It is such a beautiful time to really go inward, especially on this day, to honor that darkness in ourselves, the light in ourselves, mm-hmm. all those parts of us. You can think of it in terms of maybe what you appreciated internally for yourself, that you've gone through for the full year up until the solstice. Mm-hmm. You know, like Toast was talking about how our calendar year is. It's, you don't have to look at it as the calendar year, but sometimes I think we're just so used to January through the end of December, right?
Right.
So it's very natural on solstice when you're reflecting to look at the year, the year that you've had so far.
Yeah.
And to find those pieces, what worked, what didn't work, what are you proud of, what are you processing? You know, what things are you still dreaming of? All the different things that, you know, you've experienced in the year, especially focusing on the things that you are ready to let go of and release mm. in order to create space for that runway of becoming as we move into the next season of spring.
Mm-hmm. I just really like the energy of solstice being that time for reflection and just sitting, mm-hmm. just sitting in the energy of thoughtfulness, even of emptiness in a way,
yeah.
you know, and the juxtaposition, like you mentioned, of darkness and light, because it is that time, that in between time, kind of like the Halloween thing where the veil is thin.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
where, yes, it's the longest or the shortest day of the year. So the darkest day, but inherent in that is the knowledge that from now on, it's going to start to become lighter, right? From
yeah.
now on, the days will start to grow longer. So just that liminal, that in-between space of knowing mm-hmm. things are always dynamic, in motion, and we are just part of this immense universe immense earth and just kind of being carried along by mm-hmm. By these natural cycles and currents, and that we have come out of them.
Yeah.
I just appreciate that. There's that sense of sacredness that doesn't belong to any one religious mm-hmm. system, right? It's just absolutely. Part of the natural world. And I think that's what absolutely. I really like about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's where the woo comes in.
That's where the woo comes in. And, you know, I mean, people like, okay, so for instance, when Toast is talking about a time of reflection, so when I think of what I do on the solstice, and it's not just on the solstice, but when I think about it, what does my ritual look like? You know, it's like a nice cozy drink, and it's normally for me, it's in the dark of the morning mm-hmm. on solstice, where it's just quiet and no one's going to bother you. And I have a journal and I'm thinking, and the candle is lit and all of that stuff. And when you think about that, that mm-hmm. feels so peaceful. And it feels so sacred and quiet and dark and just all those wonderful things. You know, I mean, to me, those things are wonderful.
Yes.
But it's like when we were preparing for this podcast and thinking about some suggestions, because Toast and I have been on this journey for a long time now. I would say we've journeyed together for over 21 years now, believe it or not. And so what we do for solstice has looked different, and we have definitely relaxed quite a bit. But there have been times where our whole solstice ritual was a full 7 days, 3 days before the solstice, then the solstice, and then 3 days after. But we've totally relaxed. So when we're thinking of, you know, just some nice suggestions, easy suggestions, because what no one needs right now is
pressure.
Is another list and pressure of how to do something. You do it however you want to do it.
Or don't do it.
Yeah. But in putting this together, one of the things I thought of is, well, let's suggest for people who maybe have never done this to create an altar space. And then all the voices came into my head of people being afraid of an altar and like all the things, and they're going to be scared of it. And
are you going to put a crystal on it?
And yeah. It's like, crystals. And what candles is and all the things. And then it made me think of like, is this scary? Is this not
to
scary?
To some people, it's scary.
Scary, not scary.
Right? To some.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was really interesting. You shared with me kind of recently how, because of some, you know, people's posts on social media, and you were finally able to really get and understand how some people
would be scared
yes. of like the idea of yes. crystals.
Right. And or, for me, it's the most natural thing. I mean,
it's not
natural,
scary to you.
Well, it
but
was
you could
natural.
Understand how it could be scary to people.
Yes. It was natural to me. There were a lot of things that really came naturally to me. And, you know, I've had some really, I've had a nice handful of mystical experiences. We did a podcast on one about miracles, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but, all these things have been anchors for me that really, were the touchstones of what became my own spirituality. And I'm so grateful for all of that, because what it helped me do is it validated the parts of me that really did not feel like a Catholic and really did not feel like, why are we doing this? And this doesn't feel right. And yet at the same time, there were certain things in Catholicism that were beautiful that I felt like, ooh, I love this. I'm going to keep this with me. You know, even to this day, if I step into a church, there's a reverence that overcomes me that I'm grateful for, that I have. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, and it rarely matters what church it is. Honestly, it doesn't have to be so beautiful. It's just, it is a sacred place to me. I mean, I don't go to church, but there's just certain things that I kept and certain things that didn't make sense to me that I just threw out. Mm. And, but I definitely got the message growing up that things like crystals and things that were not approved of in the Catholic ways was evil, scary, don't do it.
Yet, and crystals was one of them.
Crystals was one of them. Okay. Yet, I didn't listen, and I just did my own thing. So I didn't fully understand. Like, I was like, what? What are you talking about? This feels the most. I always went with the feeling, and it felt safe and good to me, and mystical and wonderful. Wonderful meaning like full of wonder, like, wow, look at this amazing thing. So I've always listened to that. So when I used to think like how could people be afraid of a crystal or having an altar or candles on a table? That's candles on a table, you know, that's part of an altar. I never fully understood it until recently, like seriously, just recently, where it was a situation where I was seeing through the eyes of a person who questioned it, questioned those rituals. And I thought to myself, oh, okay. Yeah, I can see how that could be scary someone not raised, you know. I mean, I wasn't raised in it, but I just followed it, you know.
Yeah.
There was an ease to it because I was so young. I wasn't flooded yet with everyone else's beliefs. You know, I still felt pure, where I was like, no, this is right, you know. And so I followed
that. It felt safe for you, and that safety was established before other voices could get in to scare you about it.
Yes, but then they scared me, and I did feel scared. And then as I got older, I mean, I really felt like I had to hide it. Because
they would judge and disapprove
and
be worried for you.
Right.
And yeah.
But anyway, so all of that got me thinking, like, how do we make this, you know, not scary for people, you know? And so, you know, so I mean, we're going to play a game.
But don't you think, some people, like, if they're scared and they want to be scared, then they're going to
be scared.
Just be scared.
And it's okay. Go be scared.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not trying to not...
We're not trying to convert anybody.
No, because there's nothing to convert to, right? It's just you have to listen to yourself.
Right.
And if in your highest, best self, in yourself, you feel like candles are scary, then listen to that. You have to listen to that. You know, it's like, but just coming from where Toast and I are coming from in how we're suggesting, hey, maybe for solstice, create an altar space. For us, that's not scary. So let's play.
Scary, not scary.
Okay, so we're going to go down a list and we're going to say if it's scary or not scary.
Here we go.
Scary, not scary.
Crystals.
Not scary.
Not scary. Pentagram.
Scary.
What about oracle cards or like tarot cards or
not scary?
Ouija boards.
Scary.
Scary. Pendulums.
Not scary.
Incense.
Not scary.
Goats.
Never scary because we're not sacrificing them and their pets and beloveds.
Candles.
Not scary.
Sage.
Not scary.
White
sacred,
sage.
In fact.
Sacred, yes. It can smell like pot sometimes. Don't love that, but it's not scary.
Not scary.
Salt.
Not scary.
It makes food taste good. Crucifix.
Not scary, especially if it's right side up. But do you see, like, the scary movies? And there's, you know, there are some truths to these things in some scary movies.
Yes, we have respect.
Some of it's real. We're not dissing the devil here.
We're not minimizing and calling all these things just mere superstition.
No.
Okay.
But there is
next,
a way.
The game's not over.
Oh.
Should we do more?
Oh, yeah, it's not over.
I have a few more.
Sorry, yeah, go ahead.
Having
an
altar.
Not scary.
Hair and fingernails.
Scary.
That's scary. Okay.
Anything with hair.
When the hair and the fingernails are not attached to you.
It's scary.
And it's not attached to a larger body. It's scary.
It's
all
scary.
Of a sudden,
okay.
It becomes scary.
So here's the thing. So I love, here's an aside. I love, adore antiques. Adore, like adore. I love the story, everything, except what they called mourning jewelry, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, mourning jewelry, which was often made with the hair of the deceased person, braided, and put into a ring, a locket. And sometimes they even created this whole picture with braided, tons of braided, intricate hair in floral wreath designs, real hair of the deceased. That's
scary.
Scary.
What about a photo of someone you don't know in a silk robe?
Not scary.
Okay.
Not scary.
Okay. Well, thank you for playing. Scary, not scary.
So anyways, all right. So one of the things you can do on the winter solstice or before the winter solstice to prepare you for it is to create an altar. And it can be as simple as just choosing a space and clearing it off, maybe putting a beautiful cloth that you love, having a candle there, especially if you don't have cats, because sometimes cats can go up there and burn themselves. We've actually had our cat's tail swooped by a candle. I'm not kidding you. He was okay, though. But so you have to be careful with candles. And if you do have pets around, you can put them in those giant hurricane sconce-type candle holders where they cannot get to it. You can also use solar candles or battery-operated candles.
Oh, like fake candles.
Yeah, fake candles. Yeah. So you want an element of light or fire on your altar. You might also choose to have an element of earth, which could be sage. It could be even just beautiful dirt from outside in a beautiful bowl put on your altar. Water. You could put a bowl of water on your altar. So having all the elements, fire, earth, water, and of course air is always there. Thank you, air. And then you can put just beautiful things you love that really make you feel holy, sacred. It could be photos of someone in a silk robe, like someone you know, like someone you admire. It could be a...
Not Hugh Hefner.
A teacher. We sound so like horrible, but you know. Anyways, you got to have humor. Like, you know, maybe a monk that you just admire in their silk robe. It could be Ganesha. It could be whatever, you know, whatever is maybe even part of your own ancestry. Mm-hmm. Photos. It could be items. Like, I really resonate with crystals. Some things. Toast loves to put things like a branch she finds outside. I'll see branches with moss that she found outside and they're all in her office. So things that make you feel holy and grounded and sacred. There's nothing you shouldn't put on your altar.
It's kind of, I'm trying to think of a way to explain it and relate it to more mainstream conventionally accepted things. Mm-hmm. Like people, you know, they back in the day, they might have like a photo of their spouse or their family on their work desk, or just the idea of a wedding ring, you know, or a picture of their kid in their wallet. Mm-hmm. You know, those are just
mini altars when physical, you think about it.
Yeah, those are just physical objects that kind of remind you of your relationship to other people.
Yes.
And those things are sacred. And I think this whole concept of an altar is very, it's similar. It's just your relationship to other entities.
Mm-hmm.
The larger
not
universe.
Scary entities.
Right?
Not
larger,
scary.
Yeah, the
entities.
Larger universe and larger community that you're mm-hmm. a part of, not limited to human beings.
Yeah.
You know, because we are all part of that larger living entity.
And it's kind of, and what you can really relate it to around now is a lot of people, they will hang a ribbon across, I don't know, their fireplace or something, and they will pin up all the Christmas cards that they receive from people. Mm-hmm. That in and of itself is like an honoring and an altar space too. So you can even think of it like that. You probably already have altars.
Yes.
You know, you just don't call it an altar. Mm-hmm. So anyways, those would be just a few suggestions to really immerse yourself in this winter solstice period. And we really encourage you to embrace it and help whatever feels right to you, to take that pause, whatever that's going to look like for you, to take that pause and use this darkness as this time of great reflection. And Bear agrees. He just jumped up here.
Bear is our cat. And he approves.
He's here. He's purring very loudly, and he's ready. He's ready for his own rituals. So, you know, something that's really important to mention is that we have, all of us, or most of us, have experienced certain elements of honoring, and even some of the things we've mentioned, you know, that might be on your altar space, have been taken from other cultures and other people that don't necessarily belong to us. And what's really important to remember is when using these things, when we borrow these powerful sacred elements, for example, sage, you really want to treat it and use it with the highest, highest respect. And even better, as we continue on our spiritual path, to find things that are directly from our own lineage, that can even be so much even more powerful because ourselves remember, you know? So like, for instance, I know in my heritage, from my Filipino ancestors, I know there's healing rituals and things that if I tap into, it's even more powerful because my cells remember. And for you, Toast, like your Japanese ancestry, you know, there's things there. And so even though sometimes we borrow from other cultures, we need to be very respectful in borrowing, and also to make sure to tap into our own.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that gives us a chance to step back and realize and be so grateful for the fact that we happen to be in a generation now. And this has been true for of course, more than just now, but now more than ever. We are in a time where all of our different cultures as humanity, you know, like we are relearning a respect for all the different cultures and nations and traditions. Hopefully more of us are starting to see each other from a place of respect instead of a place of conquest or exploitation. And more of us are wanting to heal the relationships between all of us and really wanting to create beneficial relationships. So the fact that we can recognize where different traditions and symbols and tools come from and be able to use them with a sense of respect. I think that in itself is powerful. In trying to heal these bonds, you know, from the past hundreds, even thousands of years.
Yeah. And if you go back and you keep going back and you keep going back, like, I just feel like nothing belongs to anyone.
Exactly.
You know, I mean,
I agree.
I don't want people to be upset by that statement, but just, you know, we're all, anyways, that's all I'll say.
There's so much
I'm gonna zip be it, said because we've gone over time. And anyway, so I hope if you were a little scared upon listening to this podcast, that you're a little less scared and more inspired to make winter solstice your own and to do some deep reflection and take the time for yourself.
I think what you're talking about, because this...
Where am I talking? I'm not talking about...
Well, what you were
just
talking
anymore.
About now and about traditions and where things come from, I think the main point is, even though we've joked about it and stuff like that, you know, I think the main point is that all of these tools and the rituals and all that kind of stuff, really, it all comes down to the intention, Yes. What's the intention?
Yeah.
And I think the highest, best intention is love, mm-hmm. and cultivating kindness, mm-hmm. and cultivating hope. Yeah. And it's, right?
That's beautiful.
That's love. And
yes.
And where the wisdom is needed is to know whether the intention is being manifested or not. Mm. Because we human beings come up with all of these systems that we, at the outset, you would like to think the intention is cultivating love and hope and kindness. And so we develop all these rules that we think, you know, will produce that. But sometimes people, we get carried away with following the rules, mm-hmm. and forget to monitor, well, it is the original intention having the intended effect? You know, is it being manifested or not?
Yep. Intention, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Intention is huge.
So
that's another podcast topic. Intention.
Okay. All right.
Yes, okay. Thank you. That was very good to add.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you thought so. Thanks for listening. Woo! Thanks for hanging with us. Winter solstice is coming up. The darkest day of the year, the drawing back before the launching forward, mm-hmm. time mm-hmm. of darkness and light, mm-hmm. of icy time, but the fire is coming. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with other people, rate and review. You can find us on Instagram. We also have accounts on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. We have a website, cnntoast.com. And as always, we're going to end this show by encouraging you to live your love story.
I'm Rachel Corpus, an angel communicator, psychic medium, and host of the Angel Talk podcast. This show is meant to help you remember who you are, a limitless being with shoes and socks on. And along the way, we'll connect to people on the other side and experts in the field like authors, healers, animal communicators, and more. Listen to all my shows at Mind, Body, Spirit FM or wherever you get your podcasts.